This morning's first reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their hard work. If either should fall, one can pick the other up. But how miserable are those who fall and don't have a companion to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they can stay warm. But how can anyone stay warm alone? Also, one can be overpowered, but two together can put up resistance. A three-ply cord does not easily snap. And now from Hebrews. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit for some, but encouraging one another, especially as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. So today is the last Sunday. We've in the summer worship series, we've been looking at games that we played maybe as we were growing up. Some of us played them. Some of us have never played them. John said he's never played Candyland. Don't know why that is, but he was deprived as a child, I guess. Sheltered. Yes. But we've been looking at those because it's interesting how some of these games that we have played can point us to deeper spiritual truths. And so we've looked at the game like Candyland. You know, this is a game, it takes no talent to play. There's no strategy involved. All you do is you pull a card and you do what the card says and you move your little piece around the board. But to me, it was a great reminder as to how in life, you know what, there's a lot of things we can't really control, right? We can't control other people. We can't control the economy. We can't control aging. We can't control the future. And so what we can do is we can learn to trust God in the midst of all the things that we can't control. So Candyland can point us, I believe, to a deeper spiritual truth. We looked at the game Jenga, right? The game of blocks. It's out there on the table as well. You know, you move a little block, and you, the goal is to not to be the one who collapses the tower, right? And we learned that, you know what? There are a lot of things in our lives, though, that can cause collapses. Things that happen, situations. We can't control all those things. Sometimes we have been the one who have removed maybe a piece of our foundation. And all those things begin to add up, just like in the game of Jenga, until the tower cannot stand up on its own anymore. And then, I mean, in our own lives, how our things can fall apart. And again, the reminder is to, you know, what do we build our lives upon? What's the foundation? And as followers of Christ, we begin there. That is the base that can hold us together when everything else around us seems to fall apart. Last week, we looked at the classic game Operation. Remember, with Sam and all the little cavities, and the goal is to pick out the little piece without touching the edge, because if you do, it'll buzz and his nose will light up. And I said, again, this reminds us how Jesus doesn't just focus on the surface level, the things that are easily, that's an easy problem. The things that are beneath the surface that we don't always want to deal with, or we don't always want to admit, and how Jesus is in the business of surgery of the heart, all right? Healing what's broken deep inside of us. And that brings us to our last game, and today that is the game Connect Four. I don't know if you remember this game. It was a game that was designed and invented by a guy by the name of Howard Wexler, and he teamed up with Ned Strongin, and they create, it's a combination of tic-tac-toe and vertical checkers. We got a great life-size version outside in the Northex, so afterwards you can take on Kenny Walker. He said he'd play anybody. All right. But it debuted in 1974, Milton Bradley, who has since been brought out by Hasbro. They debuted the game back in 1974, and it has sold millions and millions and millions of copies and units. And every year it sells millions. And I can remember, though, a pretty iconic commercial. Maybe you saw it on TV advertising Connect Four. Take a look.
Object? Connect four of your checkers in a row while preventing your opponent from doing the same. But look out, your opponent can sneak up on you and win the game.
I won.
Where? I can't...
Here, diagonally.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Do you remember that commercial? You get a good sense. I mean, that's the whole object of the game, is to connect four of your pieces in a row, diagonally, vertically, whatever. I can tell you this, that when my sister and I played games, they did not end as harmoniously as that one did. Okay? Many times, the game, whatever we were playing, ended up on the floor after the person had swept the table after they had lost. Okay? So, but I can say that I think I had that dude's haircut. I'm not proud of that one, but yes. I do believe I had that. Interesting a little urban myth surrounding this game that I had stumbled upon this week, and that is, there's this urban myth that says that David Bowie, do you remember David Bowie, musician, artist? That he was the inventor of this game. I don't know. Obviously not true. It became this urban myth because a British broadcaster by the name of Stuart McConey started it as a joke back into the 1990s, back in the 1990s, and it stuck. And so people familiar with, oh yeah, David Bowie must have, no he didn't, but an interesting little side bit. But it's an easy game to understand, but it is a very difficult game it's a challenging game to master. And as you saw, the object is to connect four of your discs in a row before your opponent does. Again, I encourage you to play it out there after worship today. So unlike Candyland, it is a game of strategy, because every move matters and every piece is important because it impacts the next move. And you have to think ahead, and you have to plan ahead. You have to pay attention to what's developing around you, what your opponent is doing, what you're doing. And most importantly, you have to remember that the way to victory is about making connections, isn't it? You're not going to win with one piece. You're not going to win with two pieces. The only way you're going to win is what? By connecting four pieces. That's the name, connect four. All right? Four pieces have to come together in alignment. And I was thinking about this game, and it struck me about how much it sort of resembles life again. Because life isn't meant to be lived in isolation, is it? Isn't it? I mean, we were created to connect with one another. All right? The people we connect with, they shape who we are. They influence who we are. Our habits, our faith, our values, our priorities, the direction of our lives even. Which makes a lot of sense because, again, that's how God created us, right? God created us to be in connection with one another. I mean, God is a relational God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we were created in that same image to connect with one another. And it's interesting, you see this in the very beginning of the scriptures, in the very beginning, in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis. We're given the stories of creation, and it says that God created the heavens and the earth and the sky and all those things and the land and animals and everything. And after every part of creation, in that story it says, and God looked at it and said it was good, right? And then suddenly in Genesis chapter 2, God says something different. God says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. Interesting that the very first thing that God declared as not being good was isolation, was being alone. And so what he did, created a partner, a helper. Why? Because we were created in that way. We need connection, we need friendship, we need companionship, we need encouragement. We need people to know us and to love us and to challenge us and to walk alongside of us. Now, one would think that because we live in one of the most connected times in history, you know, that we would have this down. We would know how to connect, be in a relationship. And yet we are also, in this time in history, some of the most disconnected people ever. I mean, we can have hundreds of Facebook friends and Instagram followers, and we can get text messages constantly and emails never stop flowing, and yet many people feel profoundly alone. There are some recent statistics given by the U.S. Surgeon General, and it said about 50% of U.S. adults indicate that they feel loneliness, a physical, a spiritual, social alienation that is as hazardous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So it's serious stuff. And what I found ironic is that the greatest number of those who feel lonely are not older adults, not people who live maybe out in rural, sparsely populated areas. No, it said those who feel most lonely are the ones who are the most digitally attached. Generation Z. If you know, Generation Z is folks who were born roughly between 1997 and 2021. It's the first generation of real digital natives, meaning they don't know a time when there hasn't been high-speed internet or cell phones or social media or all these kinds of things. They've grown up in a world that has been digitally created from the moment that they were born. And yet, even though they are the most connected generation of all human history, this report indicates that they have a greater number of cases of depression, anxiety, social isolation, compared to the boomers and the Gen Xers or even the millennials. And it's more than maybe teenage angst or anxiety or a stage of growing pains. It's really is pointing to a deeper cultural change where humans can connect with one another so much better than ever before, but not really connect to one another at the same time. See, we've mastered the digital connection, but we're struggling with meaningful connection, and there's a difference. All right? Social media allows us to know what someone has for breakfast, right? But we don't know the struggles they're having that keeps them awake at night. We can see carefully edited highlights of one another's lives. But what's hidden behind that, right, is maybe the depression or anxiety or loneliness that is there. See, God has designed this not just to know about people, but to know people and to be known by people, to be in a relationship. We were made for connection. Like in the game Connect Four, you know, a piece sitting by itself, it doesn't accomplish anything, does it? It only gains significance when it becomes connected to another piece and to another piece. The same is true for us. Right? Our significance, our purpose, our meaning happens when we are connected to one another. Now, I got to pause here for a moment and say that, yeah, we're created to be connected to one another, and we need that, but we also have to recognize that not every connection is healthy, is it? I mean, in the game, one of the keys is to pay attention not only to your own moves and your own strategy, what you're trying to do, but also to your opponents. And so sometimes the biggest move isn't about advancing your strategy, but blocking someone else's, isn't it? Blocking the wrong connection. I mean, you look at it and you see your opponent and they got one, two, three, and it's like, oh no, what are you going to do? You're going to drop one of your in pieces to block them from making that fourth connection and winning the game. In life, not every connection we make, every relationship is a healthy one, is it? Some relationships, they pull us away from God's best. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, bad company ruins good morals. In other words, who we spend time with matters. Who influences us matters, because they can help form us and shape us. Who speaks into our lives matters. Our habits, our attitudes, again, our priorities are shaped, influenced by the people that we connect with. So it's important to think about who it is that we are connecting with. Because positive things can happen, negative things can happen depending upon the connection. Maybe you've noticed this, how quickly attitudes can spread. You're around someone who is always happy, or they're joyful, they get a positive attitude. Guess what? It rubs off, doesn't it? You like to be around people like that most of the time. when you're around someone who's just the opposite, who's negative, who complains maybe all the time, who is bitter, who gossips, who's negative. That spreads as well, doesn't it? And before long, we can start sounding like the people we surround ourselves with. So it's important to think about the connections that we make, and are they healthy ones? It's not about who am I connected with, but it really is who is shaping whom. I mean, Jesus hung out with all kinds of people, didn't he? Right? Tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, outsiders, insiders, it didn't matter. But Jesus influenced them more than they influenced him, didn't they? So again, who am I connected to? Who is shaping whom? In your life, think about the relationships and connections. Are they drawing you closer to Christ, or are they pushing you farther away? Sometimes spiritual maturity means learning when to build connections and when to establish boundaries. Sometimes the most important move is maybe to block a connection, just like in the game. What are those connections? Are they healthy? Drawing us unto Christ, pushing us farther away? Hebrews reminds us, as Mark read earlier, let us consider how to provoke one another to what? To love and good deeds, and not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. Again, it's a description of the kind of connections that we should be trying to cultivate, those who will provoke us, to encourage us, who will to love one another, to do good deeds, who will say, hey, you know, we need to make sure not to be disconnected, in other words. Because I think faith grows when we encourage one another. We grow. It grows when we're in community with one another. We make a bigger difference when we're together. You know, treasure sales, a great example of that, of coming together and the impact it can make. You know, if we all took our stuff, right, and we sold it on our own Facebook marketplace or whatever, yeah, you wouldn't make nearly as big an impact as all of us together bringing it and it being sold at our treasure sale, and so that we can make, you know, impactful, I think. Gifts to those who are doing great things. Right? We encourage one another. I mean, I think one of the greatest lies is, hey, you know what? You can do this by yourself. You don't need other people. You don't need the church. You don't need a small group. You don't need accountability. You don't need support. You can do it on your own. All you got to do is try harder, right? Let me tell you, it's in isolation that discouragement grows. Temptation gains strength, where fear gets louder. That's why community to me is so important. And many of us, we've experienced this, we've witnessed this. Think about someone who's gone through a very difficult situation. Maybe a hospitalization, a divorce, maybe they've lost a spouse or a loved one, a death or a job, something. And let me tell you, those who have been able to navigate it and get through it, many times is why, because they didn't do it on their own. It's because they had a community that was had surrounded them, that they could lean upon. Because it was people who showed up, it was friends who called, it was, you know, it was church members who maybe brought meals, or prayers partners who checked in, a small group that refused to let them be let them struggle alone. Maybe it was one of our Stephen ministers here. If you don't know, our Stephen ministry is a worldwide ministry, and it trains people just to walk alongside others. And you'll find them. They usually have their blue name tag on here. And you can see those. And that's what they're not to fix. They're not trained to do that. We've got professionals that do that, that help us do that. No, they're just trained to how best to walk alongside of you. So if you'd like to be one, we'd love to have more, or you might feel like, you know, I could use that. And we'd love to talk to you more about that as well, get you connected there. See, the strongest believers rarely, they know this, that it's not about being independent. Right? It's about being connected. Ecclesiastes, as though one might prevail against one another, two will withstand. One, a threefold cord For a strand is not quickly, easily broken. So faith is not about a single strand. What is it? God says, I've designed this to be strengthened by a network. All right? Your faith is to be strengthened by a network of relationships, right? Which doesn't happen haphazardly. It takes some intentionality to do that. I mean, Connect Four to me reminds us that, you know, successful players, they're not just haphazardly dropping their disc, their pieces into the board. What are they doing? They're being intentional. They're planning. They're looking ahead. They're being strategic in that. They're aligning their pieces for a purpose. I think the same is true spiritually. I don't think we accidentally become mature disciples. We intentionally place ourselves in environments where faith can grow. We worship, we pray, we serve, we connect. We encourage one another, as Paul says in Thessalonians. Encourage one another and build each other up. You know, an encouraging word is kind of like dropping a piece into the game. Every act of kindness strengthens the structure. Every prayer offered is, again, another connection. An invitation to worship creates community, an opportunity for growth. And little by little, those connections are made and something beautiful is created. And so I want us to think about this is that, so where do I need to maybe reconnect with God's people or to connect with God's people? Because maybe you've drifted, maybe church has become occasional, or maybe you pulled back from relationships, so maybe it is time to take a step toward reconnection. To make the first move, not to wait on someone else, but to go ahead and take that piece and drop it into the game. Maybe it is to invest intentionally in some Christ-centered relationships. Again, who is helping you become more like Christ to better reflect the image that you were created in? All right? Who are you spending your time with? What are the healthy connections? All right? Where do I need to maybe, this is not healthy. I need to do something about that. Who's going to help me grow in my faith? So who is that? And then, let me encourage you to become someone who helps connect, who keeps others connected, helps people connect. I mean, think about it, looking around. Who seems to be lonely? Who seems to be struggling? Who haven't you seen around lately? Who needs encouragement? Who needs someone to listen to? You might be the person, all right, that God's calling to reach out to them, to connect to them, to be that bridge. And it might be a phone call. It might be a text message. It might be a smile, an invitation. Some sort, but those small things can make all the difference. So become someone who keeps others connected. You know, when you play Connect Four as kids, the goal is very simple. Get four in a row in some way, shape, or form. That's how you win. Get four pieces connected. In life, it's a little bit more than that, isn't it, though? About making meaningful and deep connections. Right? The power is in the connection. In the game, most importantly, in life and in our faith. To connect to Christ, to connect to one another. Because we were meant to be connected. Never created to stand alone. It's all about the connection. Let us pray. Lord, I give you thanks for creating us to be in relationship, first and foremost with you, but also for one another, to be in community together. So forgive us for all the times when we have isolated ourselves to the point of disconnection. When we have allowed maybe unhealthy influences to shape our lives. So Lord, help us to connect more deeply to you, more deeply to those who are going to foster and encourage our faith. Help us to be encouragers and supporters ourselves, to be faithful companions on this journey. Because it's about relationship, Lord. It's about connections. Strengthen those and use us to strengthen those as well. For it is in your holy name we pray. Amen.